Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Well, this evening, President Joe Biden will touch down in Belfast as he kicks off his four-day visit to the island. In a fairly hectic schedule, he'll visit Ulster University, Carlingford, Knock Shrine, Oras an Uachtaráin, the Dáil, as well as giving a public address in Mayo. The political significance, of course, is in the timing to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. But also in Ireland this week is former Governor of Maryland Martin O'Malley, who joins me now in studio to discuss Joe Biden's visit, amongst other issues. I know you're preparing for a gathering of your own clan. We'll get to that in a few moments, rolling the carpet before June when that gathering takes place. But first, how important is this visit in terms of where he prioritises the Good Friday Agreement and its legacy for America?
Yeah, I think it's hugely significant. And thank you, by the way, for having me on. I've many, many times listened to Radio 1, but this is haven't been on for a while.
Well, the last time we met actually was downstairs in this building. We were singing The Body of an American together as you warmed up to go on the Late Late Show. So that's true. We won't treat the listeners to a repeat of that particular duet.
That was a magic night.
It was a good night, all right.
Well, after the historic significance of that tribute to Shane McGowan, I think this is very politically significant. President Biden travels to Ireland to underscore not only the 25th anniversary of the peace process here, but also the important role that America played in breaking the symmetry of that long-running and violent stalemate, but also the importance of the United States staying engaged along with all of the other stakeholders on the island and indeed in Britain, in making this peace a continuing, unfolding reality. There's a lot of signs that people are frustrated, that the extremes are being lifted up. And so it's really significant that President Biden comes here on that anniversary, and the first place he goes to is Northern Ireland. I think it's hugely important. I'm looking forward to being there in Ballina, and it makes me very proud this moment and joyful to see an Irish-American president coming to Ireland and no doubt being well-received by the Irish people.
So, as you say, there's the political aspect of things with regard to the Good Friday Agreement and the importance of continuing the legacy of that and keeping it bedded down. There's also relations with Ireland as an EU member and a transatlantic partner of the US's within Europe when he comes south of the border.
Yeah, absolutely. The and that relationship, of course, underscored and made all the more significant by the tragic, brutal, genocidal events that are happening again in Europe, and the importance of keeping that European alliance together, and of course the role that the Irish have played in the new EU. I remember once talking to Mary McAleese when she came to visit Baltimore after I was elected mayor, and she said, you know, it's a remarkable thing. All of the justices of the European Court, they all seem to have Irish clerks. And she said, I suppose it's because the Irish have a way of getting together after work to figure out how to find common ground. In fact, that's what she said, that one of the justices told her was that the Irish clerks have a way of finding common ground, keeping their fiduciary duty, of course, to their judge, but finding a way forward. It's really, you know, and also what Mary Robinson talked about and the whole notion of the fifth province, the truth that the things that unite us are stronger than what divides us. And so Ireland's role, along with the role of the United States in holding Europe together in the face of this threat from Russia and Ukraine, is also a very important aspect of all of this.
It's by no means certain that were Joe Biden to be succeeded by a Republican president, that solidarity with Ukraine would stay in place. So in terms of the political benefits to Joe Biden of landing here, of, I suppose, sending a message back home to not only the Irish-American community that have not stayed 100% behind the Democrats, how important is it from that perspective?
Well, now that I've been promoted to the rank of citizen, I can tell you that, I mean, my sense of American politics at home with regard to this whole issue of the Ukraine, I mean, you've asked a couple questions in the one, Irish support for Joe Biden and Ukraine. My sense is that while the extremist views and the current very, you know, troubled and struggling iteration of the Republican Party tend to get a lot of attention, I do believe that by and large, Republicans and Democrats are united on two fronts. One is the front in Europe and for Ukraine, opposing the Russians, and the other is with regard to China. There is actually an amazing amount of solidarity across the aisle on both of those
national security. In a swing state like Ohio, for example, where there'd be a fairly large Irish-American population, it's by no means certain what way that would go.
So that's true.
Would Joe Biden hope to appeal to Irish-Americans in Ohio and similar states with the kind of pictures we'll see out of this visit?
Yeah, Colin, I suppose in Ohio and Pennsylvania and other places, I guess that's a secondary, if not tertiary, benefit of this trip. I don't think that's why he's primarily doing it. I think not only has he been itching to get to Ireland ever since he was elected president, given all of the, you know, everything that we've wrapped into the memories of the Kennedy visit to Ireland, John F. Kennedy's visit to Ireland. But I think that the benefit at home, I think, is much less than the importance of coming here now on the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and especially with Europe facing another threat and the Irish playing such an important leadership role in the European Union.
He could do all of that in a much shorter amount of time because there is a personal aspect of it. He actually enjoys spending time here as he has done before, which might explain how long he's spending here.
Oh, absolutely. I well remember visiting him in his residence after he was no longer vice president, and he very proudly pulled from the bookcase his family genealogy, which ironically, or maybe not surprisingly, the Mormons had done for him of his Irish immigrant people who had come to America. He's very proud of his Irish roots. And of course, Pennsylvania is like a second home state to him. In Scranton, he's addressed the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick dinner that I also once attended with Bertie Ahern. Impressed and sometimes appalled at that very large and very tribal gathering. So I'm sure that President Biden's really going to enjoy his time here. You say it's a long time. I'm sure he's considering 4 days of a brief visit.
Right, and you're going to Ballina as well. Your roots are also in Mayo, but you're joining him in Ballina. Will you be meeting him there, spending a bit of time with him?
I don't know. I mean, he's the president of the United States. He'll be awfully busy, but the White House kindly invited me there. So I'm looking forward to being there and then spending a little time in the West, because believe it or not, my primary purpose for coming to Ireland was not the president's visit. That was a happy coincidence after my scheduling to come here, because I have a big responsibility this year, Colin.
You are chief of the O'Malleys, are you not?
You can call me the.
Okay, the O'Malley. O'Malley.
I am the chief of the O'Malley Clan International, and my big responsibility at the end of my year is to make sure the gathering goes well. This year it's going to be on Clare Island. We're going to have...
Could all the O'Malleys even fit on Clare Island?
We might sink Clare Island, depending on the size of the crowd that comes. This is our 70th year in a row of doing this. Can I talk about the O'Malley Clan gathering a little bit here? The O'Malleys have been gathering as a diaspora clan in somewhere in Ireland. It kind of bounces around between Connemara and Limerick for 70 years. So this is the 70th year in a row that we've been doing this. We've been very ably led by our guardian chieftain, I mean, being the O'Malleys. I thought the segue of the Irish woman who's being accused of being overly physical on the playing field was going to be a segue into the O'Malley clan, given our...
Well, you've just made that segue now.
...proud history of Grace O'Malley, our matriarch. And right now, Ellen... O'Malley Dunlop has been our guardian chieftain for 8 years, keeping it all going. We're going to have awesome music, going to be bands and barbecue on the beach on Clare Island. Sean Davey, Donald Looney are playing a concert along with Rita Conley the night before. Luca Bloom, Niall McCabe, my own band, O'Malley's March, is going to be flying over for an Irish-American flair for one set anyway. And we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Right. Are you finished with politics yourself, do you think? Is there ever, you're once a presidential hopeful, do you have any ambitions to return to a gubernatorial chair, a mayoral chair, or even perhaps sometime down the line have another tilt with the backing of all the O'Malleys in the US?
Hey,
another tilt for the White House?
Hey, thank you for asking. asking. And the only place in the world where I'm asked that question is here in Ireland, which is one more reason why I enjoy coming here. But I think I left it all on the battlefield, Colin. You know, I like the minstrel boy. My wife, however, ran for attorney general this last year in Maryland and did very well, short of winning, but she fell only 4.5 points short. So maybe Katie will run again. I don't have any intention of running again. I was honored to have my time in the sun and in service like that. And I'm very hopeful about I'm very hopeful that President Biden will run again and win again, and so our country can put a little more distance between what we did to ourselves 4 years ago and the better future we see.
Well, how do you think the legal cases for Donald Trump are playing out? They could be seen by turns as an opportunity to galvanize his base or to remind people exactly how divisive they are. I mean, putting, I suppose, party loyalty aside, what's your cold political analysis of how this will play come an election time?
My sense is that Donald Trump is a large pile with a hose running over it, and that he dissipates every time another Republican announces that they're running for president for their nomination or makes another step to it. And with every legal case that finally makes its way into an indictment or a charge, it's a wonder to me as a former prosecutor and as a recovering lawyer that it's taken so long for these indictments to come to fruition. It seems that given what all of us witnessed throughout the world of what happened on January 6th, it's a wonder to me that it's taken so long.
So you're surprised this is the first one, are you?
I am kind of surprised this is the first one.
And politically, how do you think it'll play? I mean, the Republican Party seems not minded to completely distance itself from Donald Trump. There's still an each-way bet by people who would seem to be relatively politically sober, an each-way bet by taken by them on banking on his support. For example, Mike Pence, who was affected by those events on January 6th, still not fully distancing himself from Donald Trump, indeed questioning the wisdom of pursuing him like this.
Yeah, kind of crazy, isn't it? I think initially these charges will galvanize what's left of his base. Don't forget, though, that even on the day that Richard Nixon resigned, most Americans thought he should not resign. I think it'll initially rally his base, but I think that will fade over time, especially with more revelations and with Republicans seeing other alternatives that will perhaps start polling more viably in the fall than Donald Trump will as he continues to dissipate with that hose running over it.
Right. He hasn't gone away, you know, to keep it.
Has not gone away. We're not totally out of the woods yet.
Outset. Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, on Máille, the O'Malley. Thanks very much for joining us in studio.